The Matter at Hand on WGRC.
And our conversation today surrounds the topic of Lyme disease. Our guest, Tammy Ross, who's with us in the studio, and she's from the WGRC listening area. Also, singer-songwriter Lisa Bevel joins us from the Nashville, Tennessee area, and from Texas, the huge state of Texas, Natalie Grace Nichols. What part of Texas do you call home, Natalie?
East Texas.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the lush area of Texas, isn't it?
It is. We have rolling hills and pine trees and very, very green.
Yes. Okay. All right. We're talking about Lyme disease today. And, you know, we've heard the stories of all three ladies, Tammy, Lisa, and Natalie, and some similarities and so forth. But, Tammy, for you, there was no rash or anything, no indication that you had been bitten by a tick?
Right. Mm-hmm. I had no rash and was not aware that I was bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did have the test that is done in the area, and it was negative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just talking with someone recently who likes to ride a bicycle, and they discovered that they had a rash. And there was a doctor at an emergency room who said, you know, we better test this for Lyme disease. It came back positive, and very soon has been on treatment for that person.
And if you are, the sooner you're treated, mm-hmm. much better outcome. Often you don't have any of these complications that we're discussing if you are treated right away with the antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, how long ago was it? I didn't know if we got how long you've been dealing with the issue.
I would say this happened at the end of 07.
Okay.
2007 is kind of when everything started to come crashing in, and I was actually working on my record at that time, and that's... when I went to print is when I just kind of became just incapacitated. I mean, I just making it to the printers was was nearly a joke, you know. So, but that's kind of when everything started happening for me. So 2008 was just a whole year of going to doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor and feeling like, oh my gosh, is this what it feels like to go crazy? Because... Mm. Nothing shows up in your blood work. Nothing shows up in any kind of test. And they just begin to think it's all in your head. But yet, you know, if you could imagine, and I kept telling my doctors, if you could feel what I'm feeling right now, you would want to go and jump off a bridge. The pain is so debilitating. I mean, even right now, for a year now since I've been diagnosed, I wear fentanyl patches on my chest. It's stronger than morphine. So I have to wear these daily for my pain.
Wow.
It feels like every bone in my body is broken.
Mm. I want to extend our conversation now, because as all three of you have, you know, talked about the incredible physical endurance that you've had to, you know, use to deal with all of this. All three of you ladies are followers of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we hear a lot of these good platitudes about, you know, the strength of the Lord and all of that. But yet, you know, you're talking about the fact that this really, we are physical beings. And this pain does affect us. Tammy, what has been the source of your being able to cope with this from the spiritual side of things?
I was fortunate that I was brought up in a home where mother, father, a church, a Christian school that grounded me in God's truth. And so I've never questioned God's love for me. I always knew he was there. And he has taught me very much through this. I remember the first biggest thing I thought he taught me was, I remember saying, Don't I deserve to be healthy? Not because I was this great person or anything, but you have given me a husband, you have given me children, don't you want me to be able to take care of them? And in my spirit, I heard him very gently and very lovingly say, all you deserve is the pit of hell. And I've saved, you know, he has saved me from that in Psalms. He saves me from the pit, and not only that, but he crowns me with love and compassion. And so that was one of the big aha moments that has, when I see things from that perspective, that's just amazing, and knowing that I have eternity with him, is what his.
Wow. And also, you just mentioned your son just had a tick bite, but detected it quickly. You found it and so forth.
I'm mm-hmm. taking him to the doctor this evening. Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is, a very personal thing with you in your family.
Well, and my 20-year-old daughter has been struggling with it for about 3 years, I think, now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Natalie, what about you? You have dealt with this for 20 years plus, and I am sure that there are some times when the frustration level was just beyond what we can begin to imagine.
Plenty of those moments. And, initially, when I thought it was so bad that I couldn't endure and it kept getting worse and worse and worse, I kept going to the Lord and he kept giving me peace and peace and more peace, and he never got tired of me going to him and him giving me grace. But, I have a different perspective in that I went through such severe torture with the disease for so many years, and now I can look back and I have a hindsight. And I view it differently. But even I would have told you, I think, in those very severe years, that for me the worst symptoms were feeling like I was electrocuted or being burned alive. And that's why I would scream, and that extreme light sensitivity and sound sensitivity. And, I'd had plenty of moments before that I wanted to die, and I want God to take me out of there just because I couldn't take it anymore. But as it got reached that point, I definitely could not make it without him. And that's when, I just thought I loved Jesus Christ before. I just thought I loved God's Word before. And that's when His Word became even more alive to me. It became my life. Psalm 119:50 says, "This is my comforting consolation, that Your Word has revived me and given me life." And my disease was so severe, my neurologic and encephalitis disease, that I forgot my college, forgot so much of my memories and people and really bad dementia, but I never forgot the scripture I'd memorized. And God would call it up, the Holy Spirit would call it up, and it would be life and sustenance for me. And it would be my very life and my strength. And I came to value that so much and value my physical existence in this world and my will and my flesh being crucified and being replaced with the life of Christ. That became so precious to me that I reached a point that I said, Lord, this is so precious to me. You're so precious to me. If I don't ever get any better, it's all right. It's fine. And so I reached such peace. And at that, point, pretty much within a few weeks, I started getting better. But, it's kind of like Paul. All things are lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And it's nothing. I dump it all in the trash. And so I value, I look back on it as a gift. Those years were a gift in that I was able to receive such intimacy with Jesus Christ and with His Word.
Wow. I sense it from what Tammy and Natalie, both of you have shared, that this is why it is so important to know. And when I say know Jesus Christ, it's more than, I just know somebody walking down the street. Isn't that true, Tammy?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And His truth, it's so easy for emotions mm-hmm. and feelings to confuse you. And in Psalms 40:11, I used to cry out, "Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May mm-hmm. your love and your truth always protect me." I have to go to back to not what I'm feeling, but what is the truth? Mm-hmm. What is God's truth? Mm. And that's been sustaining me.
Lisa, you wrote the song, and it's the title track from your CD, When the Healing Comes. And you write in the opening line, "I am here before you, Jesus, on bended knee, praying for an answer. That's my plea." When did you write this song, before or after you knew you had Lyme disease?
That's what's so amazing about God is that I actually wrote that song when I was dealing with an ear problem, an inner ear problem, which I now look back and go, I think that at the time that was part of the Lyme, and maybe I didn't realize it because I had some equilibrium problems, but I was so frustrated and crying out to the Lord. I said, you've just got to give me healing. And it's like, Lord, I've been praying and praying and praying, and healing hasn't come. Why haven't you healed me? And, you know, I will say for me, you know, just spiritually, that I really struggled in the beginning of all of this. Mm-hmm. I really screamed and yelled at God. Besides the crying and the praying, I just kind of felt like I had been left. Even though I knew I hadn't, I just, my just how I felt, you feel so awful that you just go, oh my gosh, is there a God? You just start to question your faith and everything you've ever believed. And God just kept saying, you know, with everything, trust in who I made you to be. Trust in how I made you. You are not crazy. You are a child of the Most High God. And I truly would cling to the scriptures as well, the ones that I could remember at that time, because memorization was very hard, and it's very hard when you're dealing with Lyme. Just trying to remember that you've put something on the stove is hard, but you know, just scriptures. I don't know how anyone gets through this without knowing the Lord. But anyway, that going back to that song, mm-hmm. that song did come out of a place of frustration and of crying out to God and going, okay, if you don't, I'm sorry, I'm going to start crying. You know, if you don't heal me. Sorry.
No problem.
I know that you will heal me someday. That if healing doesn't happen here on earth, it will happen in heaven. If I don't know it physically here, it will happen, because by his stripes we are healed. And anyway, sorry, I never expect to cry, but it's just a very sensitive place for me. I know there's lots of people who are sick and who are dealing with, you know, why haven't you healed me, Lord? But if you're not going to heal me here on earth, and if I don't ever see the physical manifestation of it, I know that I am already healed for eternity.
And it's that kind of hope and passion that the Lord gives you, that as your last line, I think, in the song says, I will keep pressing on.
Yes. So I'll just keep pressing in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll keep on pressing
until
in.
It
yes.
comes. Yeah, mm-hmm. until it comes, I'm going to keep pressing in. And I'm still going to go for prayer every Sunday at church. And I'm still going to press in and believe. Just keep believing.
This is, you know, a lot of people need to understand, whether it's with Lyme disease or whatever they are struggling with. And Lisa, Natalie, and Tammy, all three of you have indicated, I mean, you have cried out to God. You have, like Lisa, you said you have screamed. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Our Lord God understands the physical nature and the incredible pain that we are going through. In fact,
right.
He did too, didn't he?
Right.
Right.
He cried out on the cross.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong, and he doesn't hold it against us when we voice our pain to him, and he welcomes it.
Yeah. Tammy, do you have a question for Lisa and Natalie?
I did have a question.
Yeah.
My most recent struggle is, how do I feel like I'm living well when you can do so little? It's like I can't do much other than sit on my couch, and Satan's just kind of like making me feel very frustrated and like a failure with that. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not sure what scripture to use to combat this and to go into spiritual battle with this.
Yeah. Okay. Lisa, do you want to answer that question first?
Well, I think at those times, what's been so important for me is to really reach out to my church body. That was a huge thing for me, to ask for help, to have those church ladies come over and pray over me when I couldn't pray for myself. Asking for help. Just saying, I need for somebody to come sit with me today, because I'm very sad, I'm lonely, I'm depressed. The disease is trying to, you know, Satan's trying to use this disease to get to me mentally, and I just need for somebody to come hang out with me today. You know, that it really pushed me to reach out and ask for help, and you cannot imagine the blessings that come out of, for the ladies who are wanting to give to you, how it encourages others that are suffering to watch you reach out and to be vulnerable and to be open to receiving. That's one thing that I realized that was very hard for me, to be open to receive. And in those days when I could do nothing, I could sit there and receive.
Hmm. Natalie, your experience relative to Tammy's question.
I would say that we are so programmed in this world to think that our value is in what we do and what we're able to do for God and do for others. And we're here to know Him. That is His chief goal for us. His chief desire for us is to know Him. Relationship with Him is His pleasure and His priority for our lives. And, you know, Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. And that is our desire as well. And so, you know, I would tell Satan, God's delight is not in what I do. And if I stay on this couch all day and do nothing but receive from Him and talk to Him and hear from Him, that's the best that could happen with my day. And I look back at my journals now, and I even after I would get better and I would have, you know, periods that I would relapse or overdo and be back in bed for a while, and I got to where that was such a neat place for me because the whole world was hushed. There was no agenda. I'm a type A person with a million lists and sticky notes. There were no notes. There was no agenda, no plans, nothing but just me and God in that moment. And that's the beauty of, I believe, suffering in the, even in your own body, is because everything is removed and there's nothing but Jesus Christ. And, you know, when Paul was praying to the Lord about his thorn and wanting God to remove it, his answer was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And that word power means that it is accomplished and fulfilled and completed in your weakness, in your doing nothing.
Wow.
There is Christ's power made complete.
Natalie, I want to thank you so much for being with us today, and your website where people can go and find out more about your ministry, Shades of Grace, at shadesofgrace.org. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your heart with us today on the matter of Lyme disease and all the related matters that we've talked about. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It very much. Tammy, thank you for being with us. Unfortunately, we're out of time here for this edition.
Tammy,
thank you so much for being here with us
today,
and sort of being the one who pushed us here to do something on this program and gave us some of these contacts. Thank you very much, Tammy. We appreciate it. And Lisa, thank you for your time that you've given us here this morning on the program, and thank you so much for the song.
Well, thank you so much, and I just want to let everyone out there know, also, go visit the website underourskin.com. It's a documentary about Lyme disease.
Okay.
And it's actually coming to State College, I think they're in Pennsylvania, on July 18th.
Mm-hmm. That's underourskin.com?
Yes.
Okay, Under Our Skin.
Great documentary.
Okay, underourskin.com. Well, we're going to wrap up the program and listen to the song that Lisa Bevel wrote a couple of years ago. It's the title track from her CD, When the Healing Comes. And we thank you so much, ladies, for being with us on this edition of The Matter at Hand on WGRC.